Welcome back to Inside on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Fandom for comic books transcends generations. From Iron Man to Batman, Superman, and Spider-Man, the list goes on and on and on. And many of these superheroes come with a common theme, a name ending with man. Of course, there are iconic female comic book characters like Wonder Woman, Storm, and Catwoman, but even the creation of these heroes often was shaped by a male imagination. But Trina Robbins carved her own path. With a career that spans more than 60 years, Trina has cemented herself as a pioneer in the comic book world. The first female to draw Wonder Woman for DC Comics, in addition to a very long list of other groundbreaking illustrations and designs. The comic Herstorian, H-E-R, is still busy today, joining us ahead of a Sacramento visit to inspire the imagination of future illustrators. Trina, welcome. What a treat.
Hi, Vicky. Thank you for having me on.
Well, let's start from the very beginning. When did you first become interested and really kind of dip into drawing comics?
You know, as a kid, my mother taught me to read. She was a second grade school teacher. So I just dove into reading. And along with reading books, I was reading comics. I was reading anything I could get my hands on, my little tiny child hands. And I was also drawing. I've always been drawing. So it just came together.
What was it about comic books that gave you really an inspiration that was a springboard for such a successful career?
Visuals. You know, they say that one word is worth a thousand. How does that go?
One picture is worth a thousand words.
That's it. So then add the words. Add the words, and it's worth even more. You know, the combination of pictures and words is the ultimate way of communication.
And it might be easy to take for granted everything that you accomplished during a time that was overwhelmingly dominated by men. Can you just take us back to that time and how you really navigated and carved your own way?
Well, I had to carve my own way because I wasn't invited into the boys' club. You know, they were putting out comics. And we're talking now about when I started, I was doing underground comics. These were not Spider-Man and Superman and Wonder Woman. But the underground comics also had a boys' club. And they would publish their own books. They would put together their own books and have them published, but they never invited me into their books, and they never invited me to their get-togethers and their parties. I was alone. So, you know, I just said, the hell with this, I'll do it myself, and I did it myself.
That is wonderful, you know, but that takes a lot of drive and determination. What kept you persevering, given that, you know, it wasn't only that you weren't invited, but I think in many places the door was shut. So you had to create your own room.
Yes, and I did. I built my own room. What provoked it? Anger. Anger. It's like, you want to keep me out? I got news for you. You won't keep me out. And the thing is, I was good. I mean, the publishers, I had no problem with the publishers. They just wanted to sell books. And they saw that my comics sold. So they were fine with publishing me. It was just the guys.
Yeah, I mean, it had been the guys drawing Wonder Woman for decades. How did drawing Wonder Woman come about for you?
Amazingly enough, I was invited. DC Comics phoned me and asked me if I would like to do a four-part Wonder Woman. And I said, yeah.
And the rest is history. Herstory, exactly. Yeah, that is an important point. When people watch or see your drawing, your illustration of Wonder Woman, what will they see, even if it's nuanced, that might be different than previous illustrations of Wonder Woman?
Well, actually, when I did my Wonder Woman, and we're talking about the 80s, this was a long time ago, but it had been 40 years of just guys drawing her, you know. But when I did my Wonder Woman, I wanted to harken back to the original Wonder Woman. And, you know, that's To me, that is the true Wonder Woman, the original Wonder Woman, as drawn by Harry Peter, who created her really, along with William Moulton Marston. You have to have the writing and the drawing, remember. Marston wrote it, Harry Peter drew it. So I wanted to do that one. And I did. I did it in Harry Peter's style. I had a big pile of Golden Age Wonder Woman comics next to me while I was drawing it. And I would look at them all the time. How did Harry Peter do this? How did he do that? How did he draw Wonder Woman leaping? Things like that.
Looking at today, what do you make of mainstream comics and how it's really catapulted into action movies and these huge Comic-Con conventions, which you have been a part of? I mean, there's even a Wonder Woman franchise now, obviously.
Oh, of course there is. The fact is, I'm not into superheroes. I mean, Wonder Woman is probably the exception. I don't like the whole concept of superheroes is that if something is wrong, you fight. It's like, I don't believe in that. I don't believe in fighting. If something is wrong, you talk it out, discuss it, Not immediately with the fist.
What comic books would you recommend someone dip into if they want if they haven't really enjoyed comic books before then?
Graphic novels. Forget about those floppy comics, with the guys punching each other out. Graphic novels, which are so varied, and they're so meaty. There's so much more to a graphic novel than to this little crummy 20-page comic.
And you not only were the first woman to draw Wonder Woman, but you also crafted the first comic with an out lesbian as a protagonist. You
Yes.
have edited the first all-female comic book. Are you satisfied with the strides that are being made currently within the comic book industry? Characters that are women, of course, but also from the LGBTQ plus community, pretty much from a larger variety of walks of life.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Never in my wildest dreams would I have imagined that there would come a day when so many women would be drawing comics, and also men who don't want to do superheroes, telling real stories. I never dreamed this would happen. It's wonderful.
Yeah, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you about, your other creativity and success in talent and designs. It includes like a pretty iconic rock era. Did you design costumes for Jim Morrison?
Not costumes. And I never did make anything for Jim, but I did make a pair of red velvet bell bottoms for his girlfriend. I made a lot of clothes for the girlfriends and wives of the rock and rollers.
How do you reflect on that era? It sounds pretty cool to me.
It was great. It was a great time. I had a boutique and I was making clothes, and the clothes were terrific.
Yep, and now they're a part of history as well. You
Yes.
mentioned, instead of saying history or historian, you say her story or historian. What does that mean to you?
It means it's a woman's history. Because one thing that I have discovered in all of my research and all of my writing is that if you're not written about, you're forgotten. And men tend to write about men. It's really, when I went to college, there was an art book that was, every college had this art book, and there was not one woman in the art book.
Wow, and you're now part of changing that. I mean, you continue to write to this day. You don't really take many breaks. You're writing about women who drew comics in the early 20th century, correct?
Yes, because they weren't written about, because when guys write books, write comics histories, they just want to talk about Stan Lee and Jack Kirby and the Hulk. They're not interested in the fact that there were all these women in the early 20th century, all these women drawing comics, and they were great. They were wonderful, And before I started writing my books, the guys would simply say, "Oh, women didn't draw comics." But that's not true. Not only did they draw comics, but they were incredible. They were superstars.
What goes into all the research behind writing about women who drew comics that could, you know, very potentially have been forgotten about in history?
They have been forgotten about until I wrote about them.
How were you able to accomplish that? I mean, there's a lot of research and work, you know, on, you know, when you look behind the curtains to actually make that a reality into a book.
You know, research is so much fun. The whole point of doing these books is so that I can research these women. And the stuff I find out is so cool. Some of these women had amazing lives. Gladys Parker, who, by Gladys Parker book, which came out last year, has been nominated for an Eisner at the San Diego Comic Convention. And the Eisner is basically the Oscar of the comics world. Well, she was so cool. Number one, she looked exactly like the heroine she drew, Mopsy. She was adorable. She was so cute, you just about can't stand it. And she just made her own publicity because she was so cool. She pioneered pants in the 1930s, when maybe a couple of movie stars like Katharine Hepburn could get away with wearing pants, but most women simply didn't. And she wore pants and she designed pants. She not only drew comics, but she was a fashion designer. She made clothes for movie stars.
That was pretty similar to you as well. You know, you designed as
well, in addition to illustrations. Not quite as fantastic as her.
You know, finally, Trina, you're going to be making a visit to Sacramento this weekend. You're going to be speaking with some local Girl Scouts. You know, what advice do you hope to impart on, you know, these younger generations who might want to break into a field that is still, you know, dominated by people that don't really look like them?
Well, you know, draw comics. And once you're good enough, start by self-publishing your own comics. Produce zines, give them away, trade them, and soon people will see your work. You know, you have to be seen. You have to be seen, and then people will write about you.
Trina, thank you so much for making the time. It really was a treat.
Thank you.
Trina Robbins is a pioneer in the comic book world, the first female to draw Wonder Woman for DC Comics, in addition to a very long list of other groundbreaking illustrations and designs. And with that, that's it for Insight today. You can learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast. If you want to join the conversation, shoot us an email, insight@capradio.org. Thank you to producers Nick Dobis and Victor Corral Martinez, with managing editor Aram Sarkissian. Our digital producer is Megan Minana. Insight's technical director is Mark Jones, and our engineer is Mark Jones today as well. Our show music is produced by Adrian Gilmore. I'm Vicki Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.